Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
10 seconds.
He rolls into it.
Wow, he might get it.
Take it.
Way of the Warrior.
One of his legs could fight at welterweight, I'm sure.
Probably.
Full mount, here's some ground and pound by O'Gara.
I think the first 2 minutes were everything we thought it was going to be, and then after that, it was the surprise of the night.
If it happens in MMA, you hear about it here. Your MMA show, Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior, Eric O'Brien, along with Ken Evans and Joby Wan Kenobi, covering everything in the world of mixed martial arts, wherever it happens, whenever it happens, especially this weekend when we will be going to Fox Sports 1 as Matt Brown takes on Eric Silva. We'll talk about that in a second, plus new gloves debuted in Bellator with...
Wait, that's a real story?
That's a real story. I was going to save it till segment two, but we might as well start with it because they spent all this time working on this new glove that's supposed to stop eye pokes. And the very first fight in Bellator with the new gloves ends in an eye poke disqualification.
All right. That's the most Bellator thing Bellator has ever done. The only thing more Bellator is if we would have had to have paid to watch the fight simply because there were new gloves involved.
And they might think about doing that. But yes, if you were looking for the elevator pitch at Bellator, that is it. Invents new gloves to stop eye pokes, only to stop a fight with an eye poke.
So I was at that Bellator event earlier this year, and it was shortly after they introduced the gloves. And so I was thinking, oh, sweet, this is cool. There'll be a little more action. We don't have to worry about the eye pokes, no broken hands, etc. And I forgot, but there were probably three major eye pokes during that event. It was just like, oh, that was a flop.
You listen to guys like Joe Rogan who talk about this a lot, about what do you do about the eye pokes, and I don't know that there's anything, given the fact that eventually the fight needs to go to the ground and the fight needs to be a grappling match, and there's only so much
you
can...
These gloves, okay, you're going to have to, you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, they're supposed to kind of force the fighter's fingers down, right?
Right. Yep. Yes.
So you've got fighters then that are going to naturally push against that because they need to open their hands to do moves, that's stupid. That's stupid, forcing a fighter's hands to do anything. It doesn't seem like that would ever work because you're going to have a natural tendency for guys, especially when they're not wearing these gloves, to fight back against that tendency. I'm not used to my hand being forced like this, so I'm going to push it out. And on top of that, I'm moving my hands around. See, I almost poked Joe in the eye right there.
I'm sitting next to John Jones.
Yeah, just, right. That's
touching your head the whole time.
It doesn't seem like it's going to work.
Well,
I like how their CEO wanted to share the technology with UFC. Dana's got to be laughing his behind off somewhere.
Yeah. Right.
When they told him about these new gloves.
Yeah, let me get rid of
Let me put in an order.
Wait a minute.
Oh, man.
Okay, so Fox Sports 1 this weekend. We go to Cincinnati. There was long rumored this is when we were going to see Rich Franklin have his retirement fight. That is not true. Instead, we get
retired, though.
He has pseudo-retired. I mean,
he's doing one FC?
One FC is the vice president there. Mm-hmm. However, his contract is still... He is free to go do that, but still free to fight in the UFC if the spirit... moves him, as I understand. But he is not fighting this weekend. Instead, you get three very exciting fights for free. Matt Brown and Eric Silva, Costa Philippou and Lawrence Larkin, as well as Eric Koch and Darren Cruikshank, which, if you're not excited about all three of those, watch them, and you will be, because even though they're not maybe household names at this point, and you could certainly question the ability to put Matt Brown and Eric Silva as a headliner on Fox Sports 1, you've alluded to this often, Ken, that this is the sort of thing they have to do. They have to build up guys like a Matt Brown, who's won six in a row in the UFC, and a killer like Eric Silva, which makes for a really exciting fight. I don't know, and I question the logic of Vegas, which is, I guess, never in my best interest, but they have Eric Silva as a 2-1 favorite over Matt Brown, which I can't wrap my head around on any way, shape, or form.
That's good money.
That is good money. Yeah, yes. Bet away, my friends.
If you're both going to be like that, I'll take Silva 2-1. You both want to give me 2-1? Vegas knows what they're doing. I don't know why he's a 2-1, but I trust those guys when those lines start up. 2-1.
I don't know. I just don't. I see it as a good fight. I don't
see. I'll put 50 against your 100, 50 against your 100. Are we doing that?
Maybe by the end of the show we'll do that.
Okay, well, yeah. We're not drinking during the
show. No.
This isn't your podcast show. We're not going to be drunk by the end.
I understand that. But Kenny Florian's on later on, and maybe I can ask him for some sage-like advice and make a decision at the end of that. I don't know a 2-1 favorite. You might, if you want to put Eric as a favorite, I could say okay, but I don't know as a 2-1 favorite. Joe?
I don't think so. Look at Matt Brown. So I'm counting. He's on a 6-fight win streak.
Yep.
And he's been just knocking guys out. Look, 5 of these 6 are from TKO or KOs. And if he puts his hands on Eric Silva, I think it's going to be lights out.
I do find
that a long night for him.
Interesting, though, because when we talked about this a little bit before the show, so I was trying to figure out what Vegas was thinking. I'm like, oh, maybe they like that Eric Silva finishes so many fights. But then you look at Matt Brown.
Right.
Matt Brown has a tendency to finish his fights as well.
Which is why this is going to be a...
this is one of those, when it's 2-1, I'm looking, I'm like, I'm missing something, so I'll trust you. I'll trust you, Vegas.
And then Costa Philippou and Lawrence Larkin. Lawrence Larkin has a Strikeforce fighter that, if you haven't seen Larkin fight, that's totally okay, obviously. But he is a guy that, if he puts on a spotlight performance against Philippou, could be somebody you start talking about as we head towards the end of 2014 and into 2015. This is a big fight for him. 14-2 going against 12-4 Costa Philippou. So this should be a really, really great fight. And then I know here in the room, one that we're all the most excited about is Eric Koch and Darren Cruikshank. This is going to be a great fight at 155. Eric has looked awesome there. Obviously, Darren has looked awesome there. They're colliding. And again, some huge implications further on down the road by this fight, I would say.
Hopefully.
Neither one of them is going to take a giant leap, but you put on a spotlight performance in the middle of a card like this, like Dana said earlier on Fox Sports 1 this week, this is your sleeper fight of the night right here.
Yeah, but it's two guys that have 2 losses in their last 4 fights each. It's not... We might be talking about them. We're not really thinking this is some type of title eliminator,
do we? No. What I'm saying is, Eric Koch going up in weight, and Darren,
putting some
wins together. This makes for a really exciting fight between 2 really exciting fighters who are well versed in what each other are going to do, which I could make for a boring decision. But with these 2 guys, I'm fairly certain you're going to see a great fight.
Yeah, I can't see a boring decision coming out of this. They're both very dynamic fighters. They're both coming off a win. Do you have either of these guys ranked, Eric, in the top 15?
Ooh, let me look.
What do you and your friends have to say about this situation?
Speaking of rankings.
With Eric Koch and Darren Cruikshank in this fight.
I might have Eric ranked, but I'm not sure. And I guess according to Dana this week, it doesn't matter because none of us do it right at all.
He runs the rankings at the end of the day, right?
No, he lets the media have their say. That's one thing to be fair to Dana White. He will point it out very often that he has nothing to do with it. I think that's the way to go here. And there are certainly interesting situations when you look at that, where a guy like Matt Brown, I think, is number 7 and Eric Silva is number 14.
Yep.
So, Matt Brown takes that win. It's probably not as good a win as it should be when you have the media ranking sitting there. I think Dana White was talking to Fox Sports this week about that.
Yeah, he was.
He was talking to them about the fact that Matt Brown is kind of getting overlooked in some cases. Matt Brown, if he beats Eric Silva, Eric Silva's kind of a bit of a monster in that division and could be a real test for him. In that situation, what you're going to look at is Eric and his friends' rankings and go, oh, he only beat the number 14 guy, where maybe Eric Silva's a guy that should be ranked a little bit higher in that situation.
I do not have either of them ranked.
You don't have either Koch or Cruikshank ranked.
I had Koch ranked at featherweight and not ranked at lightweight.
What about your friends?
My friends don't have him ranked at lightweight at this point.
You can tell we're not allowed to vote, by the way.
And then they also have Eric at 15 on featherweight. So the exact same place that I have.
Well, I think the interesting thing, too, about these rankings, and I know a lot of people get real serious about these.
They do. Look at my Twitter account.
and that's what I mean. When you're looking at these are media rankings. And, yes, you try to do the best you can in the situation, I know, Eric. But you do have a situation where you're literally ranking hundreds of fighters.
Right.
I get that it's only 15 a division. You multiply that by all the divisions and then all the guys in all those divisions. That would be like somebody deciding, okay, you've got to rank every D1 team every week. Go.
Can we go through this, Eric? How do you approach your ranking, and then how do you keep up to date on it? I find that interesting.
So, first, I would say what I like about the ranking system, for everything that it gets wrong, what I like about it is it gives kind of a 10,000-foot view of what the brand looks like.
Mm-hmm.
You can sit here and argue with me and say Eric Silva should be ranked way higher than he actually is. But guess what? Nobody in the media knows who Eric Silva is.
Right.
So he's ranked where he is because that's our awareness of him. So in some cases, I think this reflects the way that we see the sport. Right or wrong, this is the power that you gave us, and this is what you get back. It's just like democracy. You give people the keys to the castle and they get to vote.
It's a republic.
You get what you get.
Well, for every guy at Bloody Elbow who's voting, you have a guy at Mashable that's voting,
yeah,
essentially with this
sure.
thing. And I'm not taking anything away from the guys
at
Mashable.
But you should, because you want the guy from Mashable watching it. You wouldn't make any money if it was just guys from Way of the Warrior, Bloody Elbow, and Cage Potato paying your pay-per-views. You wouldn't make any money.
Yeah, I think it's interesting, too. I mean, people really get upset, and usually the people that get the most upset have a stake in something for some reason. They're either a huge fan, or you kind of extrapolate back and you go, oh, this guy rolls with this guy
right.
who knows this guy. I mean, we do the Twitter math on that all the time, because honestly, once you get down into it, whether or not at bantamweight you're going to put Wilson Reese in front of Brad Pickett, that's a tough. You'll ask me questions. Something like, who would you put here? And I'll look at Eric sometimes and go, wait, who?
Because
I don't know. I thought the other guy ahead of him.
I thought it got way more difficult when you went from 10 to 15.
Oh, yeah, mm-hmm. absolutely. Because
when we were at 10, that was pretty easy for me. You know, you asked what my process was. That was pretty easy. Yeah. You look and yeah, it's still a lot of fighters, but you can at least get a gauge. And I thought the pound for pound was much easier at 10, because once you go to 15, there's not. In my mind, there's not 15 pound-for-pound fighters in the UFC.
That's 150 distinctions in the categories themselves that each writer, media member, blogger, broadcaster has to do. So let's be realistic. If the most prolific college football analyst had to rank 150 football teams, there's probably a lot of discrepancy once you get out of that top 40.
Well, yeah. And look at it like this, okay? When you go to pound for pound, when you go from 10 to 15, you
kind of fall off.
Well, you kind of fall off because two things. One, you have 9 champions, mm-hmm. right? So if you were to look mm-hmm. at my rankings right now, the top 10 would be 9 champions and Anderson Silva, which you would have
Essentially is how they almost all break down.
You would have a hard time arguing with me that I'm wrong. Maybe the order is wrong, but the 9 champions should be in the pound-for-pound rankings. When you get out of that, when you look at the overall, you've got Vitor, you've got Benson Henderson, you've got Gil Melendez, you've got Alexander Gustafsson, and Uriah Faber in there, which I think all of those are debatable.
Yeah,
you can debate
completely agree.
Their usage
well,
there.
Well, those,
or
those 5 change depending on the night of the fights.
Sure.
Like every pay-per-view. That's, oh, this guy's going to slide up. He's almost pound for pound, but he's clearly not, because he's not even the champion in his own division. That was one of the silly things I thought, too, because you can't call somebody pound for pound if they're not a champ in their division. So this is clearly how close each individual media member thinks they are.
The back 5.
Yeah, the back 5.
Yeah. Because, you're right. I don't know that you get into that list unless your name is Anderson Silva. John Jones probably always going to be in that list. Cain Velasquez certainly belongs in that list. Weidman and Anthony Pettis, they got some stuff
debatable.
To prove at this point before they end up on those lists. But you've got guys on there that should stay there for a while. Aldo, Barao certainly. Hendricks obviously has some stuff to prove. But Ronda Rousey is one that I think, as long as there's a women's division, she's certainly...
That she's dominated.
She dominates everybody.
Yeah. Well, I certainly think this is interesting, too. This is at least a good attempt to not be boxing in that regard, where you only have a couple of rankings from a couple of organizations, and then you have magazines ranking guys, and those matchups never freaking happen anyways. It doesn't matter what they're ranked. Here, Dana said they won't be beholden to the rankings, but I certainly like a system where, as a guy who's not watching as closely as you two on a flyweight division, if I see Demetrius Johnson taking on the number 6 fighter in the world, even though I'm not familiar with Jussier Formiga, I know, he's the 6th best in the world at what he does, according to a lot of guys, so this is going to be a good test for him.
It gives it context, is what it does.
It certainly does.
And that's important, especially when you live in a world where you're trying to put these, like Saturday night, you're going to put this on Fox Sports 1. One of the things that Fox Sports 1 does excellent, and everybody in here I would imagine would agree, is the data stream that you get while a fight is happening. You know, the chyrons on the bottom, the stuff on the side, the pre-show, the after-show, all of those things are how they tell the stories of why you should watch these fights. And adding numbers next to these guys, number 7 with Matt Brown, number 15 with Eric Silva, like you said, Ken, it starts a conversation. Because if you're at Buffalo Wild Wings and this fight's about to happen, and somebody turns to you and goes, oh, I know you do that MMA thing, what's going on with this fight? And you can go, well, it's really interesting because Matt is ranked 7 and has 6 wins in a row. Eric Silva is a murderer, but he's ranked 15th, but according to Vegas, is a 2-1 favorite, which makes this moment in MMA history really kind of interesting to watch.
Like, who was right in this regard?
Who was right? Yeah. But at the very least...
I'm still going to go with Vegas.
At the very least, that story makes you want to watch the fight.
There's $50 still sitting on each of your desks against your 100.
I've got a half hour before I have to
keep
decide.
Keep thinking about that.
Okay, when we come back, we got a lot of news to go through because a lot of stuff happened this week, not the least of which is the Bellator new glove debut eye poke sort of thing. But we'll talk about that a little bit more and then some other stuff. It's Way of the Warrior. It's your MMA show.
Follow our Twitter account at Wow Show.
It is Way of the Warrior, Eric O'Brien, along with Ken Evans. Joby Wan Kenobi covering the world of mixed martial arts. Talked about the UFC this weekend. Matt Brown, Eric Silva, Cincinnati, hometown favorite, taking on the 2-1 favorite in Eric Silva. Should be a great fight.
Well, yeah, why is he a 2-1 favorite? We still haven't figured that out.
We'll figure it out hopefully by the end of the show.
You had a break there. Either you're taking the 50 against your 100.
I'm going to go one more break before I decide. I really do want to talk to Kenny Florian and see if he can put some sense together with this. Because maybe he sees something that we don't see.
Joe, I heard you were in earlier. Didn't you say you were in?
I'll take it. Count me in.
Count me in, coach. So my 50 on Eric Silva against your 100 on Matt Brown.
Well, let's look at the latest line. I know it opened at 2-1. Let's see where it's at, and then we'll go from there.
Oh, my God. You guys are such. Oh, you were
No,
both,
it still is. He's a negative 220 right now.
You were up in arms at the beginning of the show. As somebody who wants you to put your money where your mouth is, though, I got to get Kenny Florian on the line. Hold on. Let me grab my laptop.
If I
bet 100, I should get 185 back. And if you have to bet 220 to win 100.
No, we said 2-1. That means you put down 100 against my 50, and then you get the 50. That's what 2-1 is.
I think you got it backwards there, Holmes.
No, he said he was a 2-1 favorite.
Silva is.
Yeah, yeah. Silva is, not Brown.
I'll put 50 on Silva. You put 100 on Brown. You can win the 50.
That's not the way it works, buddy. You got it backwards.
That's 2-1.
No,
you
got to bet $220 to win 100 on Eric Silva.
No, I know.
Let me ask you a question while you two figure out
you don't
math.
Have to.
Ken, let me ask
Eric
you a question.
Silva. Hold on. He's not a 2-1 favorite then. Where are these odds?
Right there.
Okay, they're plus. Well, that's not 2-1 anymore.
Yeah, he's 2.2-1 now.
No, he's not.
Yes,
that's
he
not,
is.
No, he's minus 220.
Exactly.
Okay, but that's not a 2-1 favorite.
Yeah,
but he's plus 185. Matt Brown is.
Yeah, Matt Brown
that's
is.
Close enough to 2-1.
No. So your bet is backwards.
My bet's not backwards. If I bet 50, I make more money on Eric Silva if I go to Vegas.
No,
then
you
if
make
I bet
half.
Bet half?
Yeah,
he's the favorite. You don't make
money. Oh, that's right. Why is he the favorite?
This is what we're talking about. This is why we're here.
Oh, all right.
Welcome to Way of the Warrior.
Let me ask you another question as you've just joined the program 20 minutes into it.
I'm with Vegas, however they are on this.
If you were going to bet on this and you had the opportunity to talk to Kenny Florian, wouldn't you do that?
I guess if you need that.
See, well,
apparently I just need to talk to somebody about odds.
Math, right. You just need to talk to somebody about how that works.
I was very confused.
Okay, so we talked a little bit about it.
But he did accept the bet before he looked that up.
Yes, but he did not.
Under the Vegas terms.
He accepted the bet, just not the money that you were putting, you were facilitating. So we talked a little bit about this earlier in segment one. TJ Grant and Nate Diaz, when we're talking about the rankings, both of them have been pulled from the rankings. And that has caused quite a stir this week as people are trying to figure out what it is. And even Ken, when I told you about it and then played the Dana White clip, you went, oh, I see what that's about.
The answer was very Dana White-esque in that he talked not about the fact that Nate Diaz was pulled out of the rankings and the options for the media members that we just went in depth with in the last segment. He talked a lot about how TJ Grant is not there either because he's injured.
He's got concussion symptoms still.
Right.
And so they don't know when he's coming back, so clearly
he's unable to fight. If he's not able to fight, it's not fair to the guys who are already fighting, the guys that are going in there in that weight class in their rankings. As soon as TJ Grant can come back, he can fight. He can be involved in the rankings again after he fights. And Nate Diaz the same way. And this is where Dana got to say what he really wanted to say. When you turn down fights and aren't fighting, you can't be in the rankings. So this was a very roundabout way to get to the point. And I don't like this. I've said this before on the show. I don't like when Dana outs guys for not taking fights. Because we don't know anything about the situation.
Yeah,
we don't know. We don't know if he didn't like the matchup. We didn't know if he didn't like the money. We didn't know if he thinks he deserves to be on a different level. A guy like Nate Diaz is going to make you a lot of money. So that basically is Dana going around the bush to say Nate's turning down fights. And this time, I used to really not like it when Dana would say who you turned down a fight against. this might even be worse.
When he doesn't say?
When he doesn't say and he says it's multiple fights.
Right.
Yeah.
Because now everybody's saying, oh, why isn't he fighting? He got multiple fight offers. Maybe it's two guys he doesn't have any business fighting. Maybe it's no-win situations for him. Guys that are a lot lower on the card than he should be.
Yeah, maybe he's trying to renegotiate his contract, too.
There, I mean, there could be 100 different things, and he can't really speak to them at this point.
And he just fought 6 months ago and won over Gray Maynard in a brilliant fashion. So to pull – this is my beef with it. This takes away from the integrity of the rankings. When you pull a guy who fought 6 months ago, and then you still have Dominic Cruz, who hasn't fought in 3 years – on the bantamweight rankings.
Is Dominic still in the bantamweight?
Yeah, he's ranked number 9 right now and hasn't fought in 3 years.
He's rather impressive.
So that takes away the credit of, you know, what you tried to do. You tried to give the power to the media, but then you go around the back door and you take out guys, you know, you can only think this is a bargaining chip of his.
To be fair, I do think he mentioned taking Dominic out in that same interview, if I remember when we were listening.
Yes, but... You know,
he hasn't done it yet.
Regardless, when you get into this discussion, then you have to go, okay, well, when are we taking Anderson out?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He'll be out for a year at this, you know, and so.
Unless Dana knows something else that he can't say, well, Nate's told me he's not fighting for 6 more months. So he's going to be out of essentially a year.
Right, but what's that time frame?
And that's what we have to figure out. And we talked about this on the show a lot with Dominic Cruz. Just set a time. You don't have to answer a question about Nate Diaz if you have something in place. Going forward, if a fighter's inactive for 8 months, then he's out of the rankings until he fights again, or he's scheduled to fight again. These are real easy things to do, but I get that Dana wants to keep the fluidity to the situation and be able to kind of pivot and move around, but you're going to get these kind of questions, and you have to wonder, he's a smart guy. He knows he's going to get asked a question. He probably wanted to tell everybody that Nate Diaz was turning down fights. How do we get to do that? Well, let's pull him out of the rankings.
Yeah, but again, like you said, it brings up all of these interesting questions. Like, what do we do with Anderson Silva if 6 months is the time frame? What do you do with Stipe, now that he's injured? What do you do with Stefan Struve? Now, he's still ranked and been out for 18. Now, he's back and fighting
He's pending to fight. Is he allowed to be there?
He's fighting at UFC 175, but he was out for way longer than 6 months because he had a heart condition that might have ended his career. So when somebody tells you, hey, Joe, this is going to end your career, and you go, I'm not really sure that's true, but Dana goes, well, I don't ever want him to fight again, which is what Dana said at the time. How does he still get to be ranked? I'm okay if this is how you want to do it, but you have to do that then.
You have to put it out there, right?
I don't think he wants to back himself into that corner. And honestly, even though we sit here and say that, and other members of the media say this, and guys that are a lot more important than we ever will be say this, he really doesn't have to. Because as much as we want to moan and complain about things behind the scenes, the fans right in front of things don't really care that much. The guys you want to talk to at Buffalo Wild Wings that you talked about earlier in the show, they don't really care that Nate Diaz is or isn't in the rankings.
Right.
I totally agree with you. I guess here's what I'm saying is I know that he doesn't have to do anything he doesn't want to do. That's why his name is Dana White. But if you're not going to paint yourself into the corner, as you said, you also can't tell us how terrible a job we do at it. If you change the rules as you wait, because if you look at my rankings right now, the lightweight rankings are off because I didn't get the memo that we were pulling people, so my rankings aren't accurate, so they pulled it off, and thus screwed up my overall pound for pound. So both of those are missing on my rankings because I wasn't part of that.
So what happens? Do all your guys just shift up a spot?
They're missing. Mine are both. Rankings are pulled. You can see right there.
His flyweights are gone. Why are your flyweights gone?
I don't know why the flyweights are gone. But
so did they send him? Was there a memo sent out?
After every event, they send you a thing. Hey, the rankings are open. Do your thing.
Okay.
And you can only miss 3 of them, I think, in a year before they just kick you off the panel.
Sure.
So I obviously do all of those, but then they don't let you know that they're going to yank 2 fighters and then...
I also love that you can tell where you had Nate Diaz and TJ Grant in your lightweight rankings because they're just empty.
They're just totally empty.
How can empty be trending down one, by the way?
Well, what's funny
How does that happen?
What's funny is they clearly have not to get nerdy for a second, but they clearly have the algorithm right on the front page because it just pulls 2 random people in Joe Lozon and Masvidal up to 14 and 15 on the overall rankings. So they don't leave those positions blank because whatever.
That would look silly.
That would look silly. But as I said, Stefan Struve is back. He's fighting Matt Mitrione, UFC 175. A big get, I think, for Stefan Struve, as a test coming off of this enlarged heart valve, I believe is what it was, which I don't know that I would be in a big hurry to get back in the
octagon. I was
going to
say, do you want to necessarily jump in against Matt Mitrione? Not the highest level guy in the division, but a guy who's not easy to get by.
He hits hard.
Yes, he does.
Stefan said he feels great because he was training with his heart condition, and when he started camp, he felt way better at the beginning of camp than at the the end of camp due to this condition. So he's saying that he feels better now than he ever has.
And that might very well be. And obviously, you know, when you're bred to do this sort of thing, when it's in your blood.
Yeah,
you know,
he's a young guy.
He's a really young guy, and it's good to see that this didn't derail him.
Yeah.
I still will watch this with a little bit of bated breath going,
right?
Because,
yeah.
Like, that the head injuries and heart injuries are the ones that I'm like, like knee injuries, yeah, and arm injuries. Look, you're whatever. If your knee buckles again, it's going to buckle again.
And he's coming off that broken jaw.
Right. Yes.
That was nasty.
He had a rough year that year. A couple other fights named that I think everyone should be excited about. Anthony Rumble Johnson got another test. He will be fighting Lil Nog at Fox 12, which will be July 26. So if you want to see Rumble take another step towards fighting John Jones, it will happen as he takes on Lil Nog July 26. On the Fox 12 card. And then, of course, this week, Dana White was asked a couple more questions about, hey, we've got all these names floating out here. What's the story with all of these names? What are we going to do with Cyborg? And he was kind of noncommittal on Cyborg.
Yeah.
But these other two names, he was like, yeah, we'd like to get that done. Those other two names being Holly Holm and Gina Carano. We would like to get those done, and they're still on the table. Joe, you had said that the Holly Holm deal is a money issue at this point.
That's exactly what it is. Yeah, Greg Jackson's talked about it a couple times. They've been negotiating with Holly Holm for, I want to say, a year now, and they just can't come to the right financial terms. So Holly wanted to get a couple more wins under her belt, get some more regional championships, which I believe she's done. She hasn't lost yet. And then renegotiate with the UFC. Their big sticking point came down to she was willing to come in a little lower, but when she got that Ronda Rousey fight, she wanted guaranteed money.
Gotcha.
And that's where it fell apart.
I don't think that's necessarily entirely unreasonable for her. I mean, here's the interesting thing, and a lot of people are complaining and moaning about Gina Carano in this situation. This is a women's division. This is a targeted audience of primarily men. When you can find attractive women that are good at what they do, they're going to command a higher price.
Hang on a second. So, like, a week ago when I say this very same thing, everybody in the room leaps on me. But now when we're talking about Holly Holm, so this is the level of hotness that...
I didn't leap on you about that.
When I was talking about Liz Carmouche and Misha Tate, you absolutely did. Everybody in here leapt on me. What a loser you are. A misogynistic pig saying that sex sells in the UFC. But clearly, Ken, we've dialed right into what...
Have you seen Holly Holm?
What makes Ken
I mean,
tick.
If you need some pictures...
Ken likes blondes, apparently.
So I'm going to have to listen back to last week's show.
You should. It's a good show.
I don't remember saying that. I mean, she's an attractive enough woman, and she's pretty good at what she does. The only other women's fighting league out there is Legacy, essentially. Am I missing something? No, women are
Invicta,
wrestling.
But
you know,
yeah.
Invicta. Oh, yeah. Invicta. I'm sorry. So you've got somebody with an okay amount of bargaining power. She's shown up at the ESPYs before. You know, this is somebody who's. I don't know. She doesn't have the name of Gina Carano. She shouldn't get Gina Carano money. And I know that sounds silly because I don't think Gina Carano would have a chance in heck against.
But you would pay for it.
Oh yeah, Ronda. Yeah. Oh yeah.
And I they would. Know so would
that.
You.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Absolutely. But and I'm not denying that you would pay for that just out of pure spectacle.
Like, I don't know why you just don't bring her in and let her fight Ronda if she's undefeated in MMA. I mean, if that's the sticking point, just bring her in and let her fight Ronda. Who else is fighting Ronda Rousey right now?
Right.
Who?
Yeah. Alexis Davis.
Oh, I need guaranteed money for. Okay, fine. Right. That's the only fight we want for you right now.
Right.
Go fight her as an undefeated champion.
Do you know, Joe, how much longer do we have to wait for Kat to be good to go?
I think she's full training. I want to say she's close. She's getting into camp now.
Because, I mean,
I heard.
Obviously, that's one I think that a lot of people want to see.
Yeah, yeah.
That's it, though.
But, yeah, you've got.
She's under contract.
You've got Kat, you've got Gina, and you've got Holly Holm. Those are your three fights. Because I think most people, and it, when you have a chance, if you ever watch what Dana did this week on Fox Sports 1 on UFC Tonight, you get the sense from Dana that he's where we all are, where the Cyborg thing's probably, that's sailed. Like,
I think she still wants it.
I don't know.
But it doesn't seem like, every time you ask him, he doesn't say no, but he certainly doesn't go like, well.
Here's the funny thing. So Gina Carano and Cyborg are both at 145. When he's asked about Cyborg, he says, we don't even have a 145 division. When he's asked about Gina Carano, oh, yeah, we're in negotiations. We're working on that
one. Well, here's the interesting thing about Cyborg, and whether or not it's politically correct, I think there's been a lot of allusions to the fact that she used the testosterone.
Sure.
And there's been a lot of people saying she looks like a man now after all those years of use. She looks like a female Wanderlei Silva. You know, those types of comments. If you have a situation where they're able to do the deal, they're able to get Cyborg in, and Cyborg beats Ronda Rousey, nobody's going to really accept that. Of course she beat her. Look at her. She looks like a man that beat up a woman. I think there's a very interesting line. And again, this may not be very PC, but there's a very interesting line. If you want to watch women's MMA, you want to feel like you're watching women's MMA. And Cyborg does not give people that feeling necessarily.
Well, and on the competitive side, I would say a less non-PC answer is, for me, some of the luster wore off when she got her ass kicked in that kickboxing bout.
Yeah.
She got destroyed.
Oh, certainly. I mean, that was not her thing.
Right, but what I'm saying is, if you build this person, you know, if
she's going to be the monster that she needs to be
monster
to pull off this image.
Know, the monster in the closet that you're finally letting out into the octagon to take on Ronda Rousey, she can't lose in a kickboxing match.
Definitely takes away from her luster, whether it's kickboxing or MMA.
Or wrestling. I mean, nobody made you take that fight. You took the fight. So you can tell me it's not her forte. She still took the fight.
I know. I think that's kind of... I want to say unspoken, except it seems like it's the most spoken about unspoken thing, is that we just don't want her in the cage. It just doesn't line up with what we think this should be.
So speaking of reading in between the lines, you know, we're in a year where the UFC is trying to build up stars, Ronda Rousey being one of their biggest.
Sure.
And if Dana knows in the back of his mind that Cyborg's going to give it to Rousey, didn't mean to put it that way. Cyborg's in a, you know, may beat Rousey in a clean fashion. Maybe I don't want to bring her in here to take out my champion, and she's not going to sell Ronda.
I think you're 100% right in the fact that you don't necessarily want to bring her in. I don't know if it's simply because she might be able to beat Ronda Rousey or has a good chance to beat Ronda Rousey. I don't think that's a fight necessarily even your fans want to see.
Yeah, so, okay, let's go back to Buffalo Wild Wings, and we're hanging out at that table. I don't know that you need to bring her in because those guys that we're going to hang out with that are casual fans don't even know who she is.
No, they don't know at all. And when she gets in the cage, it's going to be, wait, what is it? Who is this?
Exactly.
Why is she fighting this girl? That's what it's that's what it's going to look like. And I'm sorry, and I hope she doesn't hear this because she'll kill me, Cyborg. like that. It'd be so easy for her. So it's a fight I don't think anybody wants to necessarily make. The only person that wants it is Cyborg.
Cyborg.
Yeah. I mean, if you really poll everybody in the room, Cyborg's the one that wants it. And Cyborg lost the leverage she needed, to your point, Eric, in that kickboxing match. That's the leverage she needed. Look, you may not want me in there. You may think I look like a man. People are saying that out loud. You may think I was cheating for all those years, but I'm undefeated and I'm a monster. I can't be stopped. Oh, wait, she's lying on the floor on Access TV at 2 in the morning.
Exactly.
It's not good.
Because when I saw that happen, you know, all I could think back to is that really powerful image of Alistair Overeem with like 15 belts.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you see this guy, he's got a belt in like 19 things. And
he had the Mayweather pose going.
Right, exactly. He has a kickboxing belt and a pride belt and like all of these belts. And you look at that guy, and at the time, you know, they were doing 5 UFC shows a year or whatever they were doing. But I remember you and I going, we've got to get this guy in the UFC because look at this guy.
He's got all these belts. He's going to beat everybody.
He's going to kill everybody. How much fun will that be? And if you're going to tell that story, because... If I was going to tell that story, remember the story we told about Ronda Rousey. She was so good, she had to compete against men because no women would fight her, right? Mm-hmm. That's how she did judo, because no women would fight her. She had to fight all the guys. Okay, well, now we've brought in a woman who's also so good that she has to train with men because no women want to fight her. Here's our story, and here's where we're going to collide, except for the fact that the monster that we're trying to unleash out of the closet lost unceremoniously in a really dumb kickboxing match on Access TV, channel 2046 at 2 in the morning.
So Ronda wants the fight with Gina, too. Ronda and Dana want
the
fight.
Of course she does. You know how much money she's going to make?
Well, she's not making money with anybody else.
Yeah, I mean, she's got a good sell for it, too, though, because she said, I looked up to Gina. Uh-huh. Gina helped build, you know, the women's MMA, and it would be an honor to fight her.
It is no different. And I will...
This is Matt Hughes Hoist.
Yes! It is no different than Matt Hughes Hoist.
Sorry. I thought you had a different example.
Nope, that's exactly where I was going.
I was pulling for Hoist.
You know, because if you don't see it like that, you're not really looking at what they're trying to do. This is exactly what that was. And sure, Matt Hughes absolutely tore Hoist.
Oh, that was even... We all knew.
It was kind of sad, wasn't it, guys?
We all knew that was going to happen. And we're still... Oh, man, he'll get him.
I love you, Hoist.
Oh, God. Oh, man. He's not wearing a gi? You should have let him wear a gi. He's crying in the bar. But we knew it was going to happen. It happened.
In this case, it'll be slightly different as we will all be holding up our copies of Haywire on Blu-ray when she comes out to the octagon.
Is that in Blu-ray? Because I've been looking. Well, to be fair, I've been looking for it in 3D. because that's the reason you watch that movie.
I bet it is. A couple other things to cover before we get to Kenny Florian. Junior Dos Santos injured out of his fight with Stipe Miocic. So Fabio Maldonado, for some reason, decided to step in
and
go up a weight class because he's the type of awesome fighter that UFC needs. And I mean that all, in all seriousness. Wait, you want me to gain weight and just fight this guy? Sure, I'll do that. That sounds fun.
So has the UFC started giving, you know, gimme fights out? Is this a filler fight? You well, know, can we legitimately say this is a tune-up for JDS?
Well, I
JDS is out.
I'm sorry.
For Stipe, you mean.
Stipe, yeah.
I can legitimately say, looking you in the eye, man-to-man, that Maldonado is not JDS. I can honestly tell you that
right.
for sure. And he's going up a weight class, taking it on shorter notice than an average person would.
This sounds like they still want the JDS-Stipe fight to happen.
Sure.
So they give Stipe the guy that he should be able to handle. Because I don't know if anybody was really picking Stipe in that fight anyhow.
Hey, Ken, the odds are 8-1. So if you give me $800 on Stipe.
Is this what we're going to do? Is this what we're going to do?
Yeah, this is what we're doing.
You guys.
Well, I love your math now, so I'm going to start taking your bets.
You had your chance earlier.
And then we've talked on and on and on about Chael and Vanderlei, that fight coming to a head. And Chael had said this week that really after that fight, there's only one more thing for him to do, and then he can call it quits, and that's fight Vitor Belfort. And Vitor, as it should be mentioned, has been cleared to fight in Brazil finally. So we are getting to that point where Vitor...
this is still non-TRT, but
non-TRT.
It's in Brazil.
It's in Brazil. You know, and he had a great point this week. He said, look, I have done everything they've asked me to do. I feel great. Yes, I just did a test, and my TRT is like at 189. It needs to be between 200 and 800, I think. But my workouts are great. I feel awesome. I do, as an aside, think it's unfair that the American can fight in Brazil on TRT, but the Brazilian in Brazil can't fight on TRT.
Right.
But we can have that argument at another point because I did what you asked me to do. Now I'm cleared to fight.
Is that that's not true now, is it? With the TRT?
No, he was using Dan as an example. That you know we came you know. We
right.
the media came down on Vitor like a hammer. How dare you be on TRT when they canceled it 4 minutes ago? But we let Dan fight in Brazil, and his fight had to get canceled. And so he certainly has some validity, but he says we can, of course, have that discussion at a later date. But he is cleared, so could we get Chael Vitor? I don't know. Is that a step down for Vitor from what Vitor wants to do? Why does he have to fight Chael? I love the fight, but at what point does he want to fight Chael?
It'll be, you know, a blockbuster hit. But it comes down to what's Vitor going to look like after
I want to know.
That's the real question.
What
for
he's going to look like is this, and I forget, you guys can correct me or give me the info if you have it. Does Brazil sanction, or is that one of those UFC sanctions themselves along with the guidelines set by places like Nevada and other commissions?
Great question, Ken. So the guy who cleared Vitor, the doctor, is the same doctor who is being sued by Anthony Bigfoot Silva for coming in too high in his TRT.
So who sanctions
it's called the CAB MMA in Brazil is really being called into question for this whole deal by the media.
This is interesting.
Well, that'll be very interesting.
Well, that makes me wonder. And again, he's certainly got the right to do it and to ask for it. And I think it's nice when UFC can do this because U.S. fighters do have, obviously, an advantage.
Sure.
I mean, a lot of times because you get to fight in the U.S., they don't have to change their diets or travel nearly as much.
Yeah, right.
But you do have to wonder if he's a little more comfortable with the testing procedures and methods in Brazil than he would be actually having to deal with what would happen in Nevada or other places.
Yeah, but don't...
I don't want to necessarily call him out, but I mean, the guy's used TRT before, and you got
to
wonder.
And I don't either, but I think it's fair for him to be able to go through this process however that works. You see Chael being pretty quiet because he's also trying to figure it out and figure out if he can even fight, you know? He hasn't made a whole bunch of noise about TRT because he knows as well as anybody it's difficult to figure out how to get off of it in a safe way and continue to operate.
I think we can all agree in this room too, if any of the guys who are on TRT decided not to come back, I would be completely happy for
them.
Don't come back, you know, at 90%. This is a game where 1% can cost you concussion
or
long-term damage.
Some of these guys, Chael Sonnen, you know, and while it's not TRT, it's a knee injury, Dominic Cruz, have great fledgling careers at Fox. They don't need to come back. They've got something to do. And you can... Chael can coach tough forever. He could be a resident coach forever. He's great on TV. It's not like he's not going to train.
Sure.
That's his spot, too, on UFC Live.
Yeah.
I mean, Chael's the only guy, I think, on that show that's his spot no matter what. I mean, the other guys could probably come and go, including the Fox announcer of the week they decide to put in there.
Right, yeah.
Chow's the guy that's going to be on there.
And you see that because sometimes it's Stan, sometimes it's mm-hmm. Cormier, sometimes mm-hmm. it's whomever. But, yeah, I mean, he's found his spot, and I think good for him. Vitor obviously would get it figured out. And just like, you know, you talked to GSP, he never stopped training. He was just having fun training as opposed to training for a fight. So it's not like these guys are going to stop right. doing what they love. They just have to stop competing. You know, and Rich Franklin would be the same way. If Rich yeah. wants to be the, you know, vice president of 1FC and never compete again, I think everybody would be fine with that, obviously. It would be nice to say goodbye, I think, in some way, shape, or form, but whatever that looks like.
A Hall of Fame induction yeah. or something. And but, yeah, this is a young man's sport, and Vitor is 37 years old.
And to clarify quickly the statements that Joe made earlier, the doctor you were talking about, he's the actual director of CAB MMA.
Right. Yes.
So the right. doctor who's a little shady, exactly. according to Antonio Silva on TRT,
yeah.
is the guy that's going to be in charge of deciding whether or not you pass the test or not in Brazil. those are facts.
I'm sure that's going to work
whatever
out
whatever that insinuates.
All right. When we come back, Kenny Florian will be here. We'll talk a little bit more about Matt Brown and Eric Silva and how betting works, and maybe he will be able to walk Ken through math, which will be fun. We will do that all next.
You had an opportunity at the bet. If I'm so bad, you should have taken it.
You will hear that next. It's Way of the Warrior.
Follow our Twitter account at Wow Show.
It is Way of the Warrior. Eric O'Brien, along with Ken Evans. Joby Wan Kenobi covering the world of mixed martial arts. As promised, he will be covering the action tomorrow night as the UFC heads to Fox Sports 1 in Cincinnati. Matt Brown taking on Eric Silva, and joining us on the line, friend of the show, Kenny Florian, is here. Kenny, how are you?
What's going on, man?
Nothing, man. I know you're quick, so we'll get to this. UFC this weekend in Cincinnati, Matt Brown and Eric Silva. So we've been talking about this all show, and I just wanted to get your sense of this because I don't understand how Vegas had this. I know it's been adjusted a little bit, but had it as a 2-1. What is your sense of this fight? Because I think it's much closer than as Vegas says, but the rankings make it look like it's number 7 versus number 14. How does a casual fan make sense of what's supposed to happen on Saturday?
You know, I agree with you. You know, I think... Here's the deal. I think people are repeatedly writing Matt Brown off, and I got to say, I did for the majority of his career. You know, he was on a three-fight losing streak. You know, looked like he was one fight away from being cut from the UFC, and he's had a complete turnaround. In my opinion, the greatest turnaround career-wise in UFC history. The guy comes in shape. He's a knockout artist. He's excellent on the ground as well. His wrestling has improved a tremendous amount. And he's just been disrespected, and he's being disrespected, I think, by the bookies here. Eric Silva is probably the more talented guy, but how many times have we seen Matt Brown take out the more talented guy? I think we're going to have an unbelievable fight. Both guys are super aggressive. They're going to go at each other, and I think we're going to have a spectacular fight.
Big, big fight on Saturday night. Obviously, huge ramifications at the welterweight weight class. Also, Larkin and Philippou, another one that I think people are not going to want to sleep on. That's going to be a great fight. What do you see happening there?
It's just great matchmaking. Philippou and Larkin, again, two strikers that are going to go at it. They're very aggressive. I don't think either of them really have to be too worried with being taken down so much and being stalled out there on the ground. I think we're going to get a great match between two strikers who are going to go for it and look for the knockout. Philippou, of course, very dangerous with his hands, and Larkin's speed and Muay Thai skills is definitely something to be reckoned with. So I think it comes down to who can kind of get off and be the aggressor out there and back up the other guy. But that's going to be another spectacular fight.
And speaking of brilliant Joe Silva matchmaking, this one I'm super excited about. Cruikshank and Eric Koch is going to be, I think, your easy pick for fight of the night.
Yeah, again, two strikers going at it. Two guys that are nice and fun to watch because they're flashy. Great kicking technique from both guys. Cruikshank, of course, a little flashier with his kicks, but Koch also can get it done. And he's looked great. He looked great at 55. I think this is the right weight class for him. He would normally cut a tremendous amount of weight to get down to 145. I think he's found comfort at 155, looked great. And I agree with you, man. Definitely do not sleep on this one.
And, Kenny, you know, this weekend on UFC Tonight, you guys were talking to Dana White about the rankings. How do you see that sort of fixing itself? I know you guys are frustrated at how sometimes we do this totally wrong as journalists.
Right.
How do we fix the way that those things get done?
Man, you know, I don't know if there's just one. answer out there. I think it depends. Like with the situation with Nate Diaz, it's tough. You know, I was critical. I think that he should have stayed in the rankings, but you know, that's kind of the call of the UFC. If a fighter isn't taking the fights that you know, he's asked to take, then it's tough. But he's still under contract with the UFC, and with rankings in general, it's a tough thing. It's not just black and white. You know, you get a guy who maybe was on a win streak before, but then he lost to a lower ranking guy, and then kind of comes back against another guy who was more. It's really tough to go out there and give a fighter a number, especially when you get a stacked division like, let's say, 155 or the welterweight division.
Right.
It is a tough thing. I like it. I think it adds interest to fight. Of course, rankings, whether it's college football or whatever it is, always has been a spot for people to kind of debate.
Kenny, I know you are in a hurry, so I am going to let you go, but I want to say congrats on the engagement. Go get yourself some caveman coffee and have a wonderful time on Saturday night in Cincinnati.
You're the man. Thank you so much.
And just like that, Kenny Florian is off. Tomorrow night, UFC on Fox Sports 1. Matt Brown, Eric Silva will be covering everything on Twitter and Facebook. All you got to do is search WOW Show. Have an awesome weekend. Catch you next week. It's Way of the Warrior. It's your MMA show.
Way of the Warrior.